Foundations of Western Civilization, Lecture 13. The Christian Bible, the Diaspora, and St. Paul.
In our last lecture, we talked about the teaching of Jesus, and particularly about universalism, the interiorization of the law, and above all, universal goodwill and charity, which has been, I think, probably the predominant intellectual and moral bequest of Christianity at its best to Western tradition. But Jesus is a significant figure, of course, not only because of his teaching, but because of what was believed to have happened to him after his death. I mentioned last time the turbulence and volatility of the political situation in the Judea of Jesus' day, and to go around, as Jesus did, proclaiming that the kingdom of God was at hand, made people nervous. And eventually, and this is the most certain fact about Jesus' life, Jesus was crucified as, in essence, a political insurrectionist. The sign that we're told that was posted above his cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, which was meant to be, of course, fiercely ironic, and a warning. People who were crucified were flogged, stripped naked, often with broken limbs, and either nailed or tied to a cross, where it ordinarily took about 3 days to die. And then, customarily, the bodies were left on the cross to rot as a warning to others. They would be visibly eaten by carrion birds and the like, and they would stay there till they fell to pieces and fell off. It was a designedly horrific punishment, and for that reason it was used only on two classes of people, slaves and also political insurrectionists, which is what happened to Jesus. That's testified to independently of Christian tradition by the writings of a man named Josephus, who wrote about something we'll talk about in a bit, the Jewish Wars, and he mentions Jesus' crucifixion. It's what happened afterwards, however, that I like to focus on now. And what happened afterwards is very, very strange. The claim, of course, is that he was resurrected after 3 days. He was killed on Passover Eve, and so that decomposing bodies would not pollute the celebration of Passover, he was cut down early. We're told that the people he was crucified with were finished off, and he was lanced to make sure he was in fact dead, but surprisingly, he had died quickly. People were ordinarily finished off by having their legs broken, so they had to hold themselves up only with their arms, and they would cramp out and die of suffocation pretty quick after that. So he was entombed, which is unusual for somebody who is crucified, and we're told that in the earliest of the Gospels, which is Mark, in its original version, on the morning after the Sabbath, Sunday morning, the tomb was found empty. And then there's a series of accounts about resurrection appearances, which make it very clear and are at pains to suggest that Jesus is in a body. He is not a ghost and not a spirit, but a resurrected body of some kind. But it's an odd kind because it can walk through walls and it can locate itself from one place to another without visible means of locomotion. And it's hard to recognize. When Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, we're told, amazingly, that she mistook him for the gardener. When the folks on the road to Emmaus meet the resurrected Jesus, we're told that they talk to him for a good long while. The account suggests an hour or more at a minimum without recognizing him. They only recognize him when they sit down to eat and he breaks the bread. It's also interesting that none of the gospel accounts quite agrees in describing these post-resurrection appearances. So it's a strange thing. And of course, it's something which is unprovable.